You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're located 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to our services. 9:30 every Sunday morning, we meet for Sunday school. And right now, we are going through the book of Acts, A-C-T-S, the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles, and the beginning of the early church. And we just do it chapter by chapter, and so we provide a study guide. It's got a few things to remember that's written down on there, and I'd like to invite you out for that. Then in our Sunday morning service at 10:30, we have a message that I preach. Our theme for this year, you know, if God lays a different message on my heart for that week, we'll share something different. But until then, I'm going to share what he has already led me to, and that is we want to focus on the presence of God, treasuring the presence of God, and paying attention to the things that God pays attention to. So that's what happens on Sunday morning. We would be honored if you chose to worship with us. And one of the things that we do is if you let us know your name, we pray for you. We pray for you that God will lead you to the place that he has chosen for you to serve for his glory, and in a church that you will thrive in his presence in. And, you know, it'd be great if Merritt Assembly of God is that place. We would love to serve alongside of you. But if God's got different plans, we want to pray that you will thrive wherever he leads you. So that's a little bit about Merritt Assembly of God. We exist to be a blessing to God, to our family, to our church, and to our community, and in every available means that we can be a blessing. That's the way that we want to do it. And part of that is the Refresh radio program. We want it to be a blessing to you, and we want to thank you for joining us during the next half hour as we dive into the Word of God. It is Friday. And that's always a great day for me. We're going today to the book of Titus, chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse 11 on down to the end of the chapter. And it says there, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." As we look to this teaching this morning, you may see something that might strike you as not something that is communicated an awful lot, and that is the grace of God has impact on our lives. It's not just grace for salvation. That is absolutely case. We'll look at that. But the grace of God is the gift that God gives us to teach us. His grace should be an instructor in our lives. So it says there in verse number 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation. And so you need the grace of God in your life. I need the grace of God in my life. We all need the grace of God in our life. And what I would say about the grace of God is that it's the Greek word there is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. It means grace. It means favor. It means receiving something that we do not deserve. And Jesus, you know, is the ultimate manifestation of God's grace because he is full of grace and truth. So we are very thankful that Jesus came. We did not deserve all that he did in order to purchase our salvation. So it is God's grace. And there are a lot of people that have favor in their life. And in fact, there was a term a few years ago that was very popular, and it was the term privilege. And there were people that were saying, well, there's privilege because of this race, or there's privilege because of this going on, or whatever. And I will tell you that life is full of privileges. So there are people who are privileged to be able to get into certain schools because their parents went to school there. And I think that a lot of schools have tried to get away from that, but I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing. I didn't have any of that. My dad did not go to college other than taking some college courses. Very, very, very smart. I've learned in the past 10 or 15 years about things that my dad had expertise in that I never knew growing up. I'll also tell you this. When my father was going to school, the standards were a lot higher than what they were when I graduated. If you don't believe me, go back and look at some of the exams that young people had to pass back in the 1900s, early 1900s, just to graduate, you know, eighth grade or high school, and you'll see that a lot of that stuff is no longer taught. Now, there's technology and computers and all of that. There's a different field of expertise. But there was a much higher level of informational education before any of that technology existed. And so I didn't have the college privilege. I had the privilege of working hard. Our family was poor, and so my dad had a construction job, and when he was working, that was good. But there was also an economic downturn when I was growing up, and there were not a lot of large buildings being constructed. That's the type of construction he was in. And so we knew what it was like to go out and collect aluminum cans, and we knew what it was like to get up and throw papers, then go to work, then come home and throw more newspapers. So there was that. I saw a documentary on Kobe Bryant. It might not have been a full documentary. It was just a news story. And I'm a person that I've never played on a basketball team in school, played some intramural basketball. I played some in a church league. But after he was killed in that helicopter crash, I saw a video of him coaching his daughter. And I know that he grew up with a professional basketball playing father. And I watched in that little video, I saw that he was giving her information on how to excel. And I watched that and said, She has got a privilege that very few other people are ever going to have on the planet, because her father is one of the best basketball players to ever live, and he is giving her privileged information. I've seen some people who are business titans that come to find out that they didn't necessarily start from scratch. They started with a network of very famous or influential people in their communities because they were privileged to grow up in a family where those people knew other people. And so when we see that there are some privileges that other people have, a lot of people want to say, wait a minute, that's not fair. Well, I want to bring that into the spirit realm, and I want to tell you this. The grace of God is not fair. It's favor. It is a spiritual privilege that God wants all the people on planet Earth to share, but it is a reality. It is a lifestyle of favor and privilege that we have with God because Jesus Christ has made it available to us. And we are better served embracing the favor of God as early as possible. Don't delay it. You know, a lot of times kids will be stretching their wings and trying to learn how to do things. And I know a lot of times when our kids were that size, very, very young, we'd say, do you want me to help? No, I can do it. I can do it. Do you want my help now? No, I can do it. Do you want my help now? No, I can do it. Do you want my, yeah, I need your help now. And so just in that same way, and there can be some positive lessons from attempting to do something and, you know, needing somebody to show you the right way to do it. But when it comes to the grace of God, we are best served if we train up our children in the way that they should go so they experience the grace of God as young as possible and live their entire life with the privilege of God's favor being manifest in their life. So I pray that God blesses you with things you don't deserve. I pray that he blesses you with a relationship with the Father that is beyond anything that you deserve. The way all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray that you experience all of the blessing of relationship with God and the entire entourage of divine resources that come along with that. So the grace of God brings salvation. I like to define salvation as this. When you repent of your sins and you ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you are saved. And I pray that's an event that has already taken place in your past. Every day of your life after that, and I pray that you continue to acknowledge Jesus as your Savior and Jesus as your Lord and ask him to forgive you, that you are being saved. It is a continuous blessing of God in our life. And ultimately, we're either going to take our last breath or Jesus is going to return and rapture us into his presence. And at that point in time, we will ultimately be saved. We will be saved to the uttermost. So it is the grace of God brings salvation that impacts our past, it impacts our present, and it impacts our future. And it says that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And so the best way that I can describe that is Jesus is the grace of God personified. And he's already been born of a virgin. He's already lived a sinless life. He's already died on the cross. He's already rose from the dead, ascended to the Father, and right now he's interceding at the right hand of the Father. The grace of God has already appeared, and it is available for every person to be able to experience the grace of God for themselves. There's a ministry that a person that I know, they're part of the Assemblies of God, but their mission is to make internet resources on the grace of God available in languages around the world that they're able to reach into communities that missionaries cannot gain access to the country through. And so they have had tens of millions of decisions for Christ because they took the language of the people and they said the grace of God needs to be made available in their own language, and people contact them, and then they're put in contact with others who can answer their questions and lead them to a place where they can thrive in their walk with Jesus. So the grace of God has appeared to all men. That's not really breakthrough revelation too much, although you might not have ever thought of the term grace in the terms of privilege. Verse number 12 says this, teaching us. And so that's really what I wanted to, you know, captivate your attention with. Have you ever thought of the favor of God being assigned by the Father, the responsibility of teaching you, of teaching me? And the teaching is educating in order to adopt a certain way of life. So the grace of God is not just teaching us information. The grace of God is charged with the responsibility of creating a educational awareness and discipline on how we are supposed to live, the things that we are supposed to partake of, the things that we are supposed to avoid, because the grace of God says this. So there are lifestyle habits that many people have embraced, and those things have a controlling influence in their lives. And it might surprise people. And in fact, I had a person that said, normally, if you grew up in this environment, you duplicate what you grew up with. Well, I saw what the end of the road looked like. So, you know, there are a lot of things that are normal for society at large, but I looked and saw, you know what? That can kill you prematurely. That, you know, I have relatives that never saw 20 years of age because they got involved in things that were not healthy, not godly, and were very violent. And there's about three relatives that are in the extended family, and they never saw their 20th birthday because they didn't realize what the end of that road looked like. And so the grace of God teaches us how to live. So what does that look like? It says this, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. So in 2024, I had a conversation with a person, and I had a situation in my life, a diagnosis, medical diagnosis, and you know, everybody that I'd ever had that talked to me about that before said, you know, this is really inconvenient, man, that's unfortunate, you know, that you got to deal with that, but you know, at least it's not this other thing. And so I just took the conversations that we had and said, huh, I guess this is just something that I've got to live with. And then I had this conversation with a medical provider, and they said, well, there is something that we can do to address this, because if you don't solve this problem here, this can cause problems in another area of your life, and that could be really, really bad. And sorry about that. As I'm having this conversation with this person, I realize I don't want to have problems in that other area of my life. And so I thanked him. I said, thank you so much for sharing that with me, because I didn't realize that this could have a compounding negative impact on my life. So we addressed, and I thanked him. I was like, man, thank you for sharing that. It opened my eyes. So the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. Ungodliness is not something to play around with. It's not something to toy with. It's very serious. Ungodliness is not supposed to be named among believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the grace of God teaches us that we are supposed to deny it, that we are supposed to disown it, and we're supposed to repudiate it. So every Monday and Thursday where I live, there are things in my life that I deny, I disown, and I repudiate. And what I mean by that is this. There are things that are in my house that I no longer wish to remain in my house. I'll give you an example here in just a moment. And so I put them in a plastic bag with a drawstring, and I take them out to the trash can, and I haul the trash can to the curb, and then the trash truck comes along and grabs it, lifts it up, and removes my ownership of it and carries it away because it's going to have a negative impact. There's a guy, he has, I don't know, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of Bitcoin, but he accidentally threw out the storage device that he had his password on, and he's down to his last attempt. And if he fails that attempt to restore his password, then his hundreds of million dollars are gone forever. It got thrown into the garbage and carried off to a landfill. He tried to buy the landfill, and they wouldn't allow him to buy the landfill. And so he said, well, can I dig up, you know, the garbage dump so I can find this device? And the court said, no, you can't do that any either. If anything, what you had that you disowned and it got thrown away, it now belongs to us. What if we treated ungodliness the same way that we treated the rest of our garbage? Think of ungodliness this way, that ungodliness is spiritual garbage. So my wife had gone away for a couple of days to help my daughter. We had a new grandchild that was born a couple of months ago, 3 months ago, and she went up. We went up after the baby was born. She went up to help my daughter get her house back together after the holidays and everything. And while she was gone, I cooked some eggs. I cracked the eggs, cooked them, threw the shells in the trash can. That was about the only garbage that I produced while she was gone. There were leftovers. I was fasting. I didn't produce anything. So Monday morning came, I looked into the trash can and I said, there's nothing really dangerous there. There's nothing really unpleasant there. I just won't take that little bit of debris out to the trash can. When I came home Monday night, I walked in the house and I said, what is that smell? It was two eggshells. The volume wasn't much. The quantity of the garbage was not much, but the impact and the influence of that decaying food source permeated the house, and I did not pass go. I did not collect $200. I immediately went in there and grabbed that and said, I disown this, I disavow it, I deny it, I repudiate it, and I hauled it to the garbage. And I began to address the ramifications. I want you to know something. The grace of God wants to teach us how serious ungodliness is. It's much more damaging than some eggshells with some yolk residue in it. It's spiritually traumatizing. The grace of God says, Jesus made a way for me to disown this. He made a way for me to get rid of this out of my lifestyle. You see, it is not just about going to heaven. It is about the grace of God teaching us how we are supposed to live. Going to church is not just about hearing a sermon where you have intellectual things to process. If you're going to church and you're coming out and you're still living the same way you lived before Jesus, you need the grace of God to teach you that God wants you to live in a way that is pleasing to Him, not in a manner that doesn't represent Him. Ungodly lifestyle says it's a lifestyle that doesn't look like God, doesn't share the nature of God, will not produce the fruit of God. You and I need the grace of God to teach us every day. You have a great weekend. We will see you Monday right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Realty.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.